I follow Alex Pavlovich on the Twitter machine, and you should too if you're a Giants fan. He does wonderful coverage of the Giants for CSN Bay Area. You can follow him, Alex Pavlovich, P-A-V-L-O-V-I-C. And he joins us right now from Philadelphia. Alex, it's Dave and Nate. Thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Oh, doing great. As a matter of fact, over the last half hour, we've been talking about a subject you were talking about last night. As I said in the intro, I follow you on Twitter. I saw you having a back and forth with a couple of fans about Bob Davidson last night. Alex, I completely agree with you. Here's what we were going over, though. And by the way, Alex said, hey, get out of here. Bob had every right to toss the fan. What, in your opinion, Alex, what's the line between, hey, I paid my ticket, I have a right to heckle, and I'm an obnoxious D-bag and I need to be thrown out?
You know, I completely understand the I paid my ticket. I think for me, the line is probably something that is really offensive, or maybe something kids shouldn't hear, maybe something somebody under the age of 12 or 13 shouldn't hear. So I don't know if you guys have read it on the air, but I just thought the innuendo last night. I mean, that's something. There were a ton of kids behind the Giants dugout, a bunch of 7 and 8 year olds sitting there waiting for autographs, and families that made a trip out here, and families that were trying to make this a good time. So I don't know that there's a need for that. You can tell a guy he sucks. You can do the old standbys, but when you get into what he got into last night, I'm totally fine with kicking a guy out.
Well, and we did read it on the air. We read Davidson's statement, and it really got goofy when the guy said he owned property at 69 Smith Street or whatever. And
yeah.
We all know the reference there. With fans in the news, and just to kind of sandwich this here, we were right before you came on talking about Joey Votto. And I personally, Alex, I feel bad. I understand why Votto was pissed, but I feel bad for fans because we all lose our minds and turn 4 years old as fans when a ball's coming towards us. Votto should have called for the ball or something. At the same time, are you okay with fans going for foul balls, or should they be more aware of their surroundings?
See, I mean, I'm on the other side of that. I think you have to be more aware. There's a sign right there in every ballpark, right in front of that seat, that says, you know, these balls are in play, and balls will come into the stands. Bats might come into the stands. I think you have to understand what's going on, and we see it at AT&T Park all the time. And it, you know, these are adults. That's to me where I draw the line. I think the thing with the umpire last night, the issue for me, I'm the oldest of 6 kids. I've taken a lot of little kids to the baseball game, so that's where I draw the line on that. And I think to see it, I don't know how old that guy was, 35, 40 years old. Who's fighting Joey Votto for a ball that's right there on the edge? You got to know better.
That's a good way to look at it. Come on, man. I'm 40 years old. You're fighting a grown man for a baseball. Maybe you ought to rethink things a little bit. So Alex Pavlovich joins us on KHTK. As we look at the Giants on the field, Alex, you know, I'm looking at these trade deadline moves, and it was really kind of uncharacteristic of the Giants, not just to, I don't know, trade their starting third baseman, but to kind of shuffle the clubhouse so much in a season where they really haven't struggled. But because of the way they've shuffled post-All-Star break, do you think that there's any credence to the idea that maybe there was a little bit of panic behind some of these moves?
No, I don't know that there was panic. I think, you know, first of all, we have to remember this is a Bobby Evans team now. It's not Brian Sabian. It's Bobby. And Bobby has a slightly different way of doing things. Not any better or any worse. I think him and the guys who are running it now a little bit more have a different way of doing things. And that's what we saw. I don't know that the Giants 3-4 years ago would have made a deal like this, but they are a little bit more aggressive now, I think, in finding creative options, and I do think that they're a little bit more aware of looking 2 or 3 years down the line at all times. So that to me was what was going on. I think these guys will be fine. It wasn't to me a panic move, but I think it was a reaction a little bit to the last couple of weeks and understanding by the front office that the team they put together was probably not good enough to win a World Series, especially because of the way that starting rotation was pitching.
Well, and Alex, too, to kind of go along with those trades, one of the guys they sent out was Phil Bickford, who their top pitching prospect by many measures. And a lot of fans are kind of upset about that. Now, the Giants haven't exactly had a lot of prospects go away and just blow up, but something in the last, I don't know, year or so has caused them to sour on Bickford a little bit. What do you think that was?
You know, I want to be careful here because I don't want to crush a guy on the way out, but I think Phil's standing as a prospect didn't quite match up to what a bunch of people in the industry, including the Giants, felt about him. I talked to some scouts yesterday or couple days ago after this all happened, and just kind of with a little bit of surprise, the Bickford, because I haven't seen him. I can only go off of what we hear and what prospect rankings say and what his numbers show, which have certainly been terrific. But just talking to some scouts who have seen him this year, both of them mentioned that they thought Adalberto Mejia was actually a better prospect that the Giants gave up. And I think the sense is that Tyler Beattie is a better fit going forward. So Hill might go out there and become an ace. I mean, this is a guy who's drafted in the first round twice, so you never know. But I do think that maybe the concept of they gave away their top prospect, I'm not sure if that's totally true. I think on a lot of prospect lists, they gave away their top prospect, but I don't think the Giants actually felt that way.
Alex Pavlovich covers the San Francisco Giants for CSN Bay Area. You can check him out online at Alex Pavlovich, P-A-V-L-O-V-I-C. Get the spelling right, Dave. Giants, last night, I'm watching the game. They're in Philly. You got Bumgarner on the hill. He gets rocked. They're down six, and then all of a sudden they're clawing their way back. They go up by a run, and Alex, I'm sitting at home, and I'm thinking, this is it. This is the game that gets them off the schneid. They're going to win 12 of 13. It's a great comeback when your ace gets blasted. And then what do you know? This game was just absolutely crazy, and Will Smith comes in at one point, and to say his debut wasn't all he wanted it to be is probably an understatement. Talk a bit about the clubhouse and just where their brains are at right now after a loss like last night.
You know, I think they were actually okay. If this would have happened after, you know, if this would have happened before Saturday's game, I think it would have been really rough to handle. But the fact that they did go out there and beat the Nationals a couple times kind of righted these guys a little bit. And last night Bumgarner was off. It just happens. We see it two or three times a year where he's really off, and the Phillies are aggressive. They have a bunch of young guys who are out there not looking to walk, not working counts. They're up there hacking, and they got them early. If Bumgarner, even though there was an error in there, if Bum's going to walk out of there with eight runs on his line, it's pretty tough to win. So I think they understood last night, just a rare off night. I didn't sense really a lot of despair. And really, if you look at what happened in the eighth, I mean, certainly once Sergio Romo came into that game, it got out of hand. But Smith, he did strike out the first batter he faced. The next guy reaches on an infield single. I think he kind of dove over first base to get there and then gives up a hit. So I think they were okay for the most part with what happened.
Alex, last night was the first game really kind of after the big trades. And so I'm wondering how, as a group, did you see them adjusting in the clubhouse to the fact that they lost their starting third baseman and they brought in a pitcher that's likely to replace one of their veteran starters in the rotation? So taking out the fact that it was kind of a gut punch loss, do you see any lingering effects from the trades?
I don't. I talked to a bunch of the guys yesterday and especially made a point of talking to the other homegrown infielders, and certainly they were all a little bit crushed by losing Matt Duffy, not just as a player, but I think he was a friend. And, you know, I will say about Matt, I mean, he's one of the rare guys where everything you think about him is true. I mean, everything he had shown in terms of his work ethic and his demeanor and just the type of person he was, it's 100% true. So that is a loss in the clubhouse. But, look, Matt Moore came in there and right away was making his rounds and getting introduced, and guys were very welcoming of him. And we weren't there when Will Smith came in, but seeing him after the game and talking to him after the game, it seems like he's going to fit right in. So I think these guys fully understand it's a business, and this is just the way it goes. It'll hurt for a while, but I think once these guys get fully ingrained into the clubhouse, they're going to be okay.
Alex, Jake Peavy's 35 years old and has been an ace at points in his career. He gets popped into the bullpen after the trade, and he says, quote, too grateful to be hateful. He's a deadhead. He's got a good outlook. And that's something you may not see from some other pitchers in the league that maybe have Peavy's history. Did you expect Peavy to be the guy out? Samardzija has got extensive relief experience, and you also have Matt Cain in there as well, who's been up and down. Was Peavy the guy you thought would be targeted?
He was, and I think, you know, Samardzija, he just signed a 5-year, $90 million deal.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make that move eventually, maybe you do, but I don't know that you do it in year one. I think where do you go from there after that? It's pretty tough. So that I don't think was ever an option. Matt Cain, the other thing about him is it takes him longer to warm up, and he's the guy who has been dealing with a lot of injuries the last couple of years. Jake has been through his things too, but I think with Cain, you're looking at an arm injury and a hamstring, and it just would have taken too long, I think, for him to adjust to being a bullpen guy. So for now, it's going to be Peavy. I wouldn't be shocked if this changes back at some point. I think one thing about Jake that we've seen in the past is that he does usually benefit. Given how many pitches he's thrown in the majors and how many years he's been around, he does benefit from a little bit of a break. So if the Giants can avoid using him much in the next couple weeks, I wouldn't be shocked if they make a change at some point. But for now, Jake is to the bullpen, and like you said, he said all the right things.
You know, and Alex, I feel like the answer to this is probably obvious, but I want to try to see if I can get you to say it. I mean, is the idea behind, you know, adding that starter, moving, say, in this case, Peavy to the bullpen, you add Will Smith, too. Is the thought there that you've now added bullpen depth by being able to bump a starter back there?
I don't think so. I think in an ideal world, none of those guys are, maybe Smart is, but the other guys are not really fit for bullpen. Jake Peavy's made one relief appearance in his career. So I don't think that fits into this at all. He really just fills in there for Albert Suarez or Matt Reynolds, somebody who would come in at the front end of the game. But I think the main thing here is just getting a Matt Moore, somebody who was finished ninth in the Cy Young voting 3 years ago, had Tommy John. They do think that the young guy would be around for at least the next 3 years and be right there behind Madison.
Alex, excuse me, as I turn my mic on, I understand with the Giants' history, and we can get past the even year thing and all that, but with the Giants' history, there isn't a lot of panic. But there, you could look at this and say, man, after the All-Star break, they have just exploded. Yet it seems like as you're talking about them, you hear the players talk about anyone who's close to the team, I have yet to hear one person say, guys, we got to figure this out. This is horrible. Something is seriously wrong. And we have not been good. It almost seems like this team could, rather than having lost 7-10, won 7-10, and you're hearing the same stuff out of them.
Yeah, that's what they do. I mean, it's hard to kind of convey that, I think, sometimes to the outside, because fans by definition, are there to panic. And even in the middle of a game, I mean, there were people last night in the second inning freaking out. And like you mentioned earlier, before you know it, they're tied. So it is something where I think on the outside it's hard to understand at times, but it's a long season. It's a grind for these guys. They understand that. They understand that there's a bigger picture here, and you're going to have these stretches. Jake Peavy says it all the time. You're never as good as you think you are. You're never as bad as you think you are. And I think that's the attitude in there, and the fact that so many of those guys have at least one ring, some of them have three or four, I think makes them understand that something that happens in the middle of July is not indicative of your whole season.
Last thing for you, Alex. Hunter Pence has rejoined the team, almost like they acquired him at the trade deadline as well. And we've heard about his effect, not just on the field, but maybe more importantly in the clubhouse. You've been up close with him, watching him. How does he look on the field? Does he look completely back? And just talk a little bit about that effect he has on the clubhouse.
Yeah, he looks back to me. I think we've seen, you know, we saw it in his first at bat. I mean, that was a classic Hunter Pence at bat, just swinging from the heels and even falling down a little bit because he swings so hard. But I think he does look back. As far as the clubhouse goes, it's like what I said with Matt Duffy. Everything you believe from the outside is true. I mean, he is unlike anybody I've ever met in terms of his positivity and the way he goes about his business every single day. I mean, every time this guy gets hurt, he views it as an opportunity to somehow get better. So I think he really is unlike anybody else. And the energy he brings is something they missed. I think there are certain players in there, veteran guys even, who just react to him and just react to him being around the clubhouse and being there before a game. So it will make a difference. I think it made a difference over the weekend. Certainly there was a different vibe around the clubhouse on Saturday and Sunday. Now they have to go out there and win. It's not going to be like that as you continue to play the way they have the last couple weeks. But it generally makes a huge difference on that clubhouse.
Nice enough in Philadelphia to join us and give us a Giants update. Alex Pavlovich covers the Giants for CSN Bay Area. You can read him there. And also, if you're a Giants fan, a phenomenal follow on Twitter @AlexPavlovich. We appreciate the time. Have a good trip, and we'll talk to you soon, Alex.